This is Robert Martellacci, the Mindshare Learning Report. I have the good fortune of having a Mindshare Learning Moment with Sir Ken Robinson, award-winning author, educational advocate, and well-known speaker. And speaking of which, Sir Ken Robinson just wrapped up his keynote here at the Toronto District, leading a Culture of Change event in Toronto. Thank you for joining me this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. Great pleasure to be here.
What an inspirational talk you gave, and certainly you have an uncanny ability to bring humor in into your presentation, and that's a vital part of teaching and learning, isn't it, and engaging students?
Well, I think so. I mean, for me, if you're going to be standing in front of a room full of people, you need to connect with them and relaxed with them and to have a rapport. And I don't think I consciously set out to, as it were, to be funny. Well, you know, what people find funny is their own affair, really. But I find things funny. And if I share it, it's always great if people do too. But yes, I always feel that giving a talk, you have to go with the energy of the room. So, and there's been great energy here, say, the last few days. We did four sessions here with head teachers. So one yesterday, yesterday afternoon, two today. It's been a different group each time. And it's been a good experience.
Well, Dr. Spence certainly is inspirational as well, and he's raised the game for all educators and inspired them in the TDSB. Now, perhaps you mentioned, you talk about innovation and it not being an option today.
Well, yes, I do, by the way, want to underline that. I think that Chris Spence is doing a great job. He's giving great leadership here. I had the good fortune to talk to a number of the trustees and Chris Bolton, the chair of the trustees, and they've produced a strategic framework in consultation with the profession here in Toronto, which I think has really great promise. They've set up a number of strategic priorities, and the idea is that they'll provide not a limiting framework but an enabling framework for schools to develop their own programs, and I think that's great. And to me, it is all relate to this idea of innovation, that we're living in a world that's changing faster than ever. We need to recognize that for any given child or student, the education system is the school they go to. And innovation isn't just something that has to happen at the policy level, it has to happen on the ground in the schools. And producing a 21st century form of education is a vital priority now.
Now, you spent some time in Canada. What are your impressions of our system? It's unique. It's not national. It's provincial.
Yes.
And there are elements of the industrial age very prevalent. And, you know, Canada's performed top five in the OECD PISA rankings. How do you break away from that?
Well, I think Canada's performance in the PISA rankings is terrific. And there's a lot of strength in the system here. As you say, it's not a national system. It's run provincially. But I get round the country quite a bit. I don't know how often I've been to Toronto, maybe 15, 20 times over the years. I was in Vancouver recently in BC. I've been to...
One of my favorite cities. But
yeah, it's a wonderful place. And I was speaking to the Teachers Federation there. I've been recently in Winnipeg, in Red Deer, I've been in Saskatchewan, Saskatoon. I get around Canada.
Sounds like you need a second home in Toronto.
I think somebody should offer me citizenship at some point. But I do get around the country quite a bit. I like Canada. I think there's a great spirit in the country. I think there is an appetite for innovation here. And I think that there's a lot to commend the current system. The thing is, any system, however good it is, has to keep evolving. And none of it happens overnight. You're right, there are still strong traces here of the origins of all mass systems of education in industrialism. But none of these things happen quickly. It's an evolutionary process. And I think with leaders like Chris here, the great teachers I've been meeting, and with the inherent strengths of the Toronto School Board, I think there's a lot to hope for here in the future.
Now, I'm involved with an initiative to form a partnership for 21st century skills because we don't have a national framework.
Yeah.
Is that something that you see around various countries that helps in supporting innovation and change?
Yes, there's the Partnership for 21st Century Learning in the US on the East Coast, which is, I'm sure, related and affiliated. There are initiatives all around the world that people are pursuing to make education not just more relevant to the present, but more fit for the future. And the catchphrase, 21st century learning skills, is part of that. It's not just the skills that have to be learnt, it's the values, it's the attitudes, it's the frames of mind. And high among them, in my view, are creativity and empathy and developing the talents of each individual. The problem with a lot of the current systems is they're focused on a narrow view of ability. And if we know anything about human beings, it's they're incredibly diverse. And diversity, I think, should be a core principle as we develop into the future. What happens now, I think, is we end up with a narrow view of ability and therefore a whole outlying area of what are perceived to be irregularities or people who are somehow deviant for whatever reason. And I think if we had a more embracing conception of ability to start with and of diversity, we'd have a much broader way of conceiving of achievement than we currently do.
Now, you talk about discovering your passion and career choices and creating your future. Now, you've evolved your career, as I have, and you landed in the U.S., and you had an interesting experience on TED Talks. Was that a transformational moment in your life, in your career?
Well, I am highly evolved, as you can tell. So. Hey, well, actually, TED was interesting. It's one of those things that you sometimes hear people who say have been... you sometimes hear singers say this, you know, they've been performing for years, but they have one hit record and they're suddenly an overnight success, but they've been doing it forever. I mean,
The Beatles, by the way, yeah. It took them 10 years, that 10,000 hour rule.
To be an overnight success, yeah. And I've worked in education and around the issues I speak about most of my professional life. TED was in 2006. I was invited there because of what I'd been doing, so that was great. But that said, the first time I went to TED, it was the first year they put the talks online. So when I first did the talk, I wasn't expecting it to go anywhere apart from the people at TED. I thought that was it. So I wasn't—I didn't have in mind a much bigger audience.
And now that's the most watched video, I believe, on TED.
Yes, it's been downloaded, I think, 9 million times or thereabouts.
How does that make you feel?
Well, I'll tell you what's good about it. It's been seen, by the way, we think, by maybe 250 million people.
Wow.
Because it gets shown all the time at conferences like this, where there are several hundred people, or large events. It gets shown at training days. It gets shown at meetings and workshops. And I know it gets shown to whole groups of undergraduates and kids. And so I don't know what the exact number is, but it's probably not unreasonable to say it's 250 million plus in 150 countries. So, yeah, I mean, yes, that's had a big impact. I mean, the people... know me, who would not otherwise have known me in the work I do, and that's fantastic. It's fantastic for the work. And what interests me is the reason the talk's taken off is, and partly because, you know, it's, of course, it's entertaining and engaging, but also because it's about issues that resonate deeply with people. What I get most from people, from students and from people at all ages, is that they say that you're talking about me, and or this is, I've been saying this for years, and I hadn't put it that way, but what you say is true. Something wouldn't take off like that if it didn't resonate. And that's what I'm most pleased about with the success of the talk, is that it confirms that a lot of people are feeling this, and that there's a need for a radical shift, and that the more people who are a part of it, the more likely it is to happen.
Well, thank you so much for that. You certainly shifted a few minds here at this keynote today and inspired others, and we greatly appreciate your time. That was Sir Ken Robinson, award-winning author and educationalist and world-renowned speaker. My name is Robert Martellacci, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.